The following is a recording for Rafael Bora of iAdvise on Monday, March 27, 2017 at 9:30 a.m. Central Time. This is the Dot Vivienda 4th Quarter 2016 Earnings Call. Good morning, everyone. My name is Katie, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Dot Vivienda 4th Quarter 2016 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, we will open the floor for questions and answers. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press the star key followed by the one key, that is star one on your keypad. If you would like to withdraw your answer, please press star two. Thank you. I would now like to turn the conference over to Rafael Bora of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Katie, and good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Vivienda's 4th Quarter 2016 Earnings Conference Call. Today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. Joining us today from Bogota, Colombia, are Mr. Efraín Forero Fonseca, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Ricardo León Otero, Chief Risk Officer. They will be discussing the results per the press release distributed on Friday, March 23rd. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings report, please visit www.davivienda.com on the Investor Relations section, where there is also a webcast presentation to accompany discussion during this call. If you need any assistance, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that any forward-looking statements made today by the Vivienda's management are subject to various conditions and may differ materially. These conditions are outlined in the last page of the company's press release in the disclaimer, and we ask that you refer to it for guidance. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Efraín Forero, Chief Executive Officer of the Vivienda, who will begin the presentation. Mr. Forero, please go ahead.
Thank you, Rafael. It is a great pleasure to greet everyone at our meeting and share with you the results of Banco de Vivienda as of December 2016. I would like us to move on to slide 6 to point out the bank's financial performance in 2016. Net profit closed at Colombian pesos 1.72 trillion, which means a growth of 39.5% compared to the previous year. Therewith, our return on average equity was 18.5%, higher than the 15.3% reported in 2015. The accumulated net financial margin closed at Colombian pesos 3.74 trillion, which represents a growth of 19.3% compared to the same period as the previous year. This was driven by the good results of the performance of our portfolios, as well as the management of the bank's treasury department, which closed at 30% and 73% respectively. So it was affected by 64% increase of the financial expense. Once again, we achieved a significant improvement of the efficiency indicator as a result of the 14.7 increase in operating income, which offset the increase in expenses, allowing us to reduce the efficiency indicator from 46.8% to 45.1%, which represents an improvement of 173 basis points compared to the previous year. It is very important to mention that during the year, we completed different corporate transactions which increased the bank's growth and were the source of extraordinary income. We closed the sale of real estate assets for Colombian pesos, 637 billion, recognizing profits for Colombian pesos, about 200 billion. Also, we received Credit Banco shares worth Colombian pesos, 107 billion, in its process of becoming a Sociedad Anónima, which is similar to a corporation. As a result of this, the bank generated extraordinary profits by Colombian pesos, 307 billion. The main purpose of the sale of real estate assets was to take advantage of the appreciation of this investment, which allow us to strengthen the capital and improve the solvency ratio of the bank. In this way, we will be able to support the growth of the bank in the coming years. The gross loan portfolio grew at the level of 13.8% compared to December of last year in Colombia. The loan portfolio grew 72%, while the system showed an annual growth of 7.5%. This is the result of the diverse commercial strategy we have implemented during the past years, allowing us to gain 101 basis points of market share, therefore closing with a share of 14.7%. On the other hand, we were able to become the second largest player in credit in the country. Regarding the risk level of the total portfolio, we closed with a non-performing loan ratio of 1.93%, which represents an impairment of 30 basis points as a result of lower growth of the economy and the materialization of some risk, mainly in the corporate portfolio in Colombia. Let's move to slide 7, where we see that the personal banking portfolio amounts Colombian pesos 34.6 trillion, with a growth of 15.3%. The mortgage portfolio closed at Colombian pesos 50.8 trillion, a growth of 50.1% compared with the same period in the year 2015. This allows us to consolidate our leadership in financial mortgage loans in Colombia with disbursements of nearly 3.8 Colombian pesos trillion. Non-performing loan ratio for consumer portfolio closed at 2.51%, which represents an impairment of 51 basis points. The consumer loan portfolio closed at Colombian pesos 18.9 trillion, which represents a growth of 50.6% compared to the fourth quarter of 2015. As part of this portfolio, it is important to mention the growth of the unsecured personal loans in Colombia, which closed with a balance of Colombian pesos 41 trillion, up 25.4% from the same period, compared with the same period in 2015. The vehicle loans portfolio, the car loans portfolio in Colombia grew 32.8% in December 2015, closing at Colombian pesos 2 trillion. Non-performing loan ratio for consumer portfolio closed at 2.58, which represents a deterioration of 19 basis points compared to the year 2015. Finally, the personal banking portfolio of foreign subsidiaries grew in U.S. dollars at an annual rate of 9% compared to the fourth quarter of the year 2015, where the growth of Costa Rica stood out from the rest at 21.8%. With these results, we affirm our commitment to the region's growth through a wider range of products and services for personal banking. Let's move on to slide number 8. The commercial loan portfolio closed at 38.2 trillion, a growth of 20.4% compared to the fourth quarter of the year 2015. In Colombia, it grew 16.4% from the fourth quarter of 2015. The small medium and companies portfolio in Colombia closed at Colombian pesos 6 trillion, a growth of 19.1% compared to the fourth quarter of the year 2015. The construction portfolio in Colombia, which closed at Colombian pesos 3.6 trillion, has a growth of 21.4% compared with the same quarter in the year 2015. The commercial leasing portfolio had a good performance during the year, growing at the rate of 31.0%, reaching Colombian 1.3 trillion pesos. Non-performing loans for commercial portfolio closed at 1.36%, representing a deterioration of 27 basis points. Finally, in foreign subsidiaries, our commercial loan portfolio grew 6% in dollars compared to the same quarter of the previous year, where Costa Rica is 18.7% growth in U.S. dollar for the year. Going into slide 9, I would like to tell you about other relevant facts of the quarter regarding funding and security aid. The end of the year was very dynamic on this front. In our operation in El Salvador, we have remained active on the local market with a senior bond issuance for $30 million. In Colombia, we securitized 159 Colombian billion pesos from the mortgage portfolio, closing with a securities portfolio balance of Colombian 1.8 trillion. On the quarter, our most relevant transaction for the quarter was the sale of real estate assets, in which we sold some of our commercial and administrative branches and offices for a total of Colombian pesos 637 billion. This sale was made to different real estate funds with the purpose of strengthening our solvency through the capitalization of the appreciation generated over the year. It is important to remark that these properties were taken under lease without any recourse, not call options in the future. This transaction was generating an extraordinary profit of Colombian pesos 200 billion. In the year 2017, actually in our past assembly, we capitalized this profit in order to strengthen our solvency and our patrimony. Actually, we keep about 40% of the property portfolio, and we will analyze in the year 2017 if we consider to sell this 40% of the properties that the bank actually has. Now, let's move on to slide 10. Another source of extraordinary income in the year 2016 came from the receipt of 1.4 million shares in Credit Banco in the process of becoming a corporation. We own 15.6 share of that company, and that operation generates us a profit of 107 billion Colombian pesos. As for our affiliates in Costa Rica, we closed the debt issuance in January 2017, in which we exercise future remittance flows through DPR, diversified payment rights, for a total of 150 million. To finish this slide, in February 2017, the Board of Directors approved the capitalization of our affiliate Banco de Vivienda Internacional in Panama for $21 million, with the purpose of finally capitalist Grupo del Istmo in Costa Rica. I would like now to invite Mr. Ricardo León so we can comment on the main results of the fourth quarter on the consolidated level.
Thank you, Mr. Fueyo. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be able to share Banco de Vivienda results from the fourth quarter of 2016 with you. Please move to slide number 12. I would like to talk about the result of the bank assets. As you can see, the bank assets closed at 93.5 billion pesos at December 2016. This represents at 11.7% growth compared to the previous year. The growth is explained mainly by the loan portfolio, which grew at 14.2% annually, reaching 71.3 trillion pesos in this period. The investments increased by 3.8% in the year, closing at 9.1 trillion pesos, mainly explained by the behavior of investments in Colombia, which grew by 6.3% compared to the previous year, and increase of the equity securities due to the incorporation of 1.4 million Credanco share as a result of becoming a corporation. On the other hand, the cash increase is required by 5.7%, closing at 8.44 trillion pesos. As you can see at the bottom of this slide, when analyzing the performance by region, we see that Colombia's population grew 16.2% annually, reaching 72 trillion. On the other hand, the subsidiaries increased 0.6% in pesos, compared to the close of 2016. It's important to point out the behavior of the exchange rate, in which the pesos revaluated 4.7% in the last year. In this way, in dollars, there was a 4.3% increase compared to the same period for the previous year. Without considering the effect of the exchange rate on our assets, the growth would be 15%. Now, I would like to invite you to look at a slide 15, please, where we can see the behavior of our gross loan portfolio and its different segments. The gross loan portfolio grew at a level of 15.3% in annual terms, in line with our estimated at the start of the year. This growth is explained by 17.2% in Colombia and 2.7% in our operation in Central America. In US dollars, the Central America operation growth was 7.8%. One of the loan portfolio's most important growth is in the consumer loan portfolio, which had an excellent performance throughout the year, with an annual growth of 15.6%, mainly driven by the balance in Colombia. The mortgage portfolio increased 15.1% compared to the 2015, closing at 15.8 trillion pesos. Finally, our commercial loan portfolio has had a very good performance in the year with a 12.4% growth. It closed at 38.3 trillion pesos, up 42 trillion pesos from the end of the 2015. It's important to point out that the commercial loan portfolio includes the operation that we acquired by merging with the leasing Bolivar. It represents 3.6% of this 12.4% growth, leaving the commercial loan portfolio with an organic growth of around 8.8% if we discount the effect of leasing Bolivar. To review the growth of the total loan portfolio, please consider that this year, as I have said, it has the effect from the leasing Bolivar in the results. In this way, the effect of the merger with the leasing Bolivar was 2% of the local growth of the gross loan portfolio, which grew by 13.8%. Now I would like to move to slide 13, please. In this slide, we show the performance of the portfolio in terms of rate. As we can see in the previous table, the NPS indicator closed for the loan portfolio at 1.92% in December of 2016, representing a 31 basis point increase over the previous year. This is explained mainly by the commercial portfolio in Colombia that presented a deterioration of 41 basis points. Now, referring to each of the segments, the commercial portfolio indicator increased from 1.09% to 1.36% during the last year, due to the deterioration of some corporate lines. On the consumer portfolio, there is a deterioration of 19 basis points, closing at 2.58% compared to the 2015. This increase in the this ratio is mainly explained by the Colombian portfolio of credit cards and unsecured personal loan portfolio, due mainly to the economic situation observed in the country in the last year. The indicator of the consolidated mortgage portfolio increased by 51 basis points, closing at 2.51%, mainly due to the deterioration of social housing clients that don't have government coverage, and looking for housing from the self-employed segment that demand high amount of credit. In the last 6 months of 2016, the origination policies were adjusted for the most risky segments, both in the mortgage portfolio and in some consumer products. In addition, in the year, we securitized a portfolio worth of 390 billion. I would like to show you for the first time our coverage ratio, including the reserve that we have in the equity account. In this ratio, we include the anti-cyclical provision of the commercial and consumer portfolio that are constituted by local regulation to recognize economic events and the general provision for mortgage that is 1% of the total portfolio. If we look at the bottom of the slide on the left table, we can see the ratio on the full IFRS that includes the provision of the incurred losses model. With this, we have an indicator for a total portfolio of 119.5%. However, if we look at the total reserve indicator, including the provision that we have in the bank equity, we close the year 2016 with a coverage for the total portfolio of 204.2%, a level with which we feel comfortable to tolerate to protect our loan portfolios from the risk that there are in the portfolio. Looking at this indicator in more detail, we can see clearly that in 2015, our level of coverage was 300%. As a consequence of the risk that we observed at the time and that has been materializing, so we expect this indicator to stabilize by 200% for the next year. It's important to mention that during the last period of 2016, we made additional provision as a part of our active risk management process to close 2016 with a total coverage of 204.2%. For the commercial portfolio, the coverage indicator will reserve flows from 218.6 in September to 237.5% in December, in the last December. On the other hand, the consumer portfolio closed with a reserve coverage of 255.4%, and a mortgage portfolio closed in 97.3%. Now I would like to move to slide 15, please. Here we can see the funding sources. This funding sources increased by 10.3% annually, closing at 78.13 trillion pesos. Consolidated demand deposits totaled 54 trillion, growing mainly due to the increased volume in savings accounts in Colombia. Annually, the term deposits presented the greatest growth during the year, 22.9%. In Colombia, they grew 36.5%, and in the subsidiaries, 6.9%, mainly explained by Costa Rica and El Salvador. Where foreign subsidiaries showed a growth in dollars in the funding sources of 2.3% in the year. In Colombia, growth was 14.9% compared to the same period in the last year, the present year. The effect of the revaluation of pesos in the last 12 months generated a contraction of around 1.3% in the annual growth of the funding sources. I would like to move to slide 16, please. Here we can see that our solvency ratio reached 11% in the last December, 300 basis points above the regulatory limit. Tier 1 closed at 6.5%, mainly explained by the growth in the weighted assets by risk level, which closed at 82.7 trillion pesos. T2 closed at 4.6%. I would like to comment that the last week at the annual shareholder meeting, some capital investments were approved to improve the solvency ratio of the bank. Among them is the capitalization of 72.1% of the profit generated in 2016. Then this year will be capitalized the bank for 1.4 trillion pesos, including the profit generated by the real estate sale process that Mr. Forero mentioned at the beginning of the presentation. With this, we will achieve an estimated T1 at the end of March of the year of 7.8%, increasing 135 basis points compared to the end of 2016, and an estimated total solvency ratio at the end of the March of 11.9%. I would like to invite you to move to slide 17. On this slide, we see the accumulated net financial margin. The financial margin was 3.7 trillion pesos, 19.8% more than in 2016, explained mainly by the increase of financial revenue generated by the commercial and consumer loan portfolios, as well as the result obtained in the investment portfolio. On the other hand, accumulated financial expenses at the end of the year totaled 3.7 trillion pesos, up 64% from the same period of the previous year, mainly due to the interest rate increases associated with the tightening liquidity during the year. The accumulated net provision expenses at the end of 2016 were 1.2 trillion pesos, up 6.9% from the end of 2015, explained by the deterioration of the level of risk in the loan portfolio. As a result, the net interest margin ended at 6.4%, maintaining a level similar to the close record in 2015. Moving on to slide 18, the accumulated operating expenses reached 2.9 billion, growing 16.3% annually, given by the devaluation of the average exchange rate that explained 2.7% of the growth, the incorporation of Leasing Bolivar, which contributed with 1.6% of the annual growth, and the recognition of a senior bond which represented 1% of this growth. If we discount this effect, the organic growth was 11%. The consolidated efficiency closed at 45.1%, improving 173 basis points in the last 4 months. To end the presentation, I would like to move to slide 19, where we have the bank profit. The net profit accumulated in December grew 39.5%, reaching 1.72 trillion pesos compared to December 2015. Here, it's important to point out that during the last quarter of the year, we had two transactions that generated extraordinary profits for 307 billion pesos. In this way, the net profit without considering the extraordinary one was 15% compared to 2015, reaching 1.42 trillion pesos. The return on equity reached 18.6%, 322 basis points more than the same period in 2015. If we discount the extraordinary profit, our return on equity would be 15.3%, a level similar to the reported in 2015. In turn, the return on assets was 1.92%. Discounting this indicator, the extraordinary transaction would close at 1.58%, 1 basis point less than the reported in 2015. These are the bank's main results that we have prepared for today. Indeed, I conclude my presentation. Thank you for your attention. And now we will move on to the question and answer session, please.
Thank you, sir. We will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That is star one on your touchtone phone. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. Our first question comes from Thiago Batista from I2BBA.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the opportunity. I have actually two questions. One about the provisions. We saw a big decline in the cost of risk in the 4Q, and we also saw some contraction in our coverage ratio in the standard view. So could you comment a bit our your expectation about the cost of risk evolution for 2017? How you are expecting the provisions to be during this year? And my second question is about the profitability of your international operation business. We saw that the ROE of the international business declined materially in this quarter, in the last quarter. It was around high single digits in the last years, but in the 4Q it went down to almost 3%. Could you comment about this contraction in the profitability of the international business in the 4Q and also how much you believe it could achieve in some years?
This is Ricardo León. Thank you for your question. I will answer the third question, the provision that will be designed for the year. We believe that the cost of the provision or the cost of the risk will be increased between 30 or 40 basis points in this year. Last year, we made a lot of level of provision in the year. Profit on commercial portfolio and impact in consumer portfolio. So we are expecting an additional deterioration this year. So we estimate that the level of provision will be increased around 30, between 30 to 40 basis points.
Hello, Thiago. Thank you for the question and for being in the meeting. Our business in Central America is, in general terms, going very well. If we analyze the year that we have been there from the last 5 years, the previous year were kind of diverse. It was very good in Costa Rica, and we had results very similar in Salvador and Honduras than the previous year, and we had an operation in Panama with the lower results in terms of our profits. We see that the profitability this is getting better every year. And we start from the 5% ROE for the investment that we made, and we have gone to very close to the 10% ROE that we might have as the actually we have.
We expect to be able to have a profit around 10% for this year, ROE. And we see a lot of different opportunities that we are still taking advantage of in each of those countries. However, we also understand that there are different problems in each country. But in general terms, we feel that for this year, we will be able to keep on working on our strategy. We will increase our efficiency in those countries, and we will be able to carefully grow in terms of our share of the market in the main business that we want to be there. This year, this year will be very important for taking to those countries many different new things related with technology and related with the different apps and portals that we have and that we are going to be able to offer to our customers pretty much better services. And we expect to be successful in that way. We want to take every good thing that we have evolved here in Colombia and take data to Central America. So in general terms, I believe that that our strategy in Central America will be good for this year. We will be growing. We will be having the results very according to our forecast that we made several years ago.
Okay, thanks. Just one point. I wanted to confirm. The cost of risk that you mentioned that will probably increase is 40 to 50 bps. Is this correct, the number?
Sorry?
The how much the cost of risk should increase is 40 to 50 bps. Only to confirm if I got the right number.
30 to 40 basis points.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Macedo from Goldman Sachs.
Thanks. Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking questions. Similar questions here. On asset quality, we're starting to see a little bit of pressure. Could you comment a little bit about where you think that could go, particularly with the higher VAT now being in effect, if you've seen any impact of that already? Second, on loan growth, you have been outpacing the market in Colombia for a little while, 17% in 2016. Where do you think that goes? Is it going to be a slow first half of the year and a stronger second half? How do you think loan growth will play out in 2017? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the question. In terms of asset quality, we believe that the deterioration in the year will be increased the NPL ratio between 20 to 25 basis points. And in our consumer portfolio, we think that the increase of the ratio could be around 20 basis points. In commercial portfolio, more close to 50 basis points, and in mortgage, maybe 15 to 20 basis points. In general, the direction that we are expecting is a figure close to 20, 25 basis points. But I will add that in general terms, we see for this year a deterioration, as we mentioned, in terms of asset quality. But we have seen so far related with the tax reform, we don't foresee an important impact on the quality of the loan portfolio because of that. But we understand that we will see a deterioration in the country of the quality of the loan portfolio for the whole system. In terms of role, we believe that the loan portfolio of the system will grow pretty much lower than the year before, the year 2016. And mainly in commercial loans, we are seeing that there is a very small growth or no growth for the first quarter. And that would let us think that maybe the general growth of the portfolio might be much lower than the year before.
Okay, so slower growth. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Nicholas Riva from Citi.
Yeah, thanks, Efrain and Ricardo, for taking my questions. The first one is on capital, where we saw continued decline in the Tier 1 ratio, given your high growth in assets and risk-weighted assets. Now, the good news is that you're going to be capitalizing return earnings this month. And I wanted to confirm the number that you said for the increasing Tier 1 ratio. I was estimating a positive impact of 130 basis points once you capitalize your earnings. So your Tier 1 should go up to 7.8%. Is that in line with your projections? And also, if you can just give us your thoughts on capital, how comfortable you are even with this capital of below 8% after you capitalize earnings. And my second question on margins. So despite the high loan growth, the 14% year on year, we didn't see growth in net interest income. So my question here is what drove the compression in net interest margins, and maybe if you can give us your outlook for margins this year, and how does the easing cycle from the central bank impact your margin? Thanks.
Thank you, Nicolas. In terms of our solvency ratio, Tier 1 ratio, I confirm you, after our General Assembly, shareholder assembly meeting that we had last week, with the capitalization of the profits that we have in the year 2016, and with the new classification of the reserve that we have in the equity, our Tier 1 ratio is 7.8%, and our consolidated ratio is 11.9%. And we still have, we believe that with this ratio, we are able to have enough support to grow the bank for this year, and to be in a well above the limit in terms of equity. Even though we are every year we are going to work much more on this, we have to remind that we have this reserve anti-cyclical provision for loans reserve that we have in Colombia. And it's in our equity, but it is not taken into the calculation of this index. If we take that into consideration, we might talk about an index of 8.3% Tier 1 index. On the other hand, related with the margins and NIM for this year, we foresee that maybe the central bank is going to lower the rate even more than what they actually have done so far, and we foresee that we will have in the first semester an increase in our NIM because of lower cost. However, at the second semester, maybe we will have a low interest rate for our loan portfolio as well. And we finally think that we are not going to be impact for this year in terms of our NIM. However, we always believe that we have to increase our efficiency, and we have to work pretty much in our efficiency because NIM has always been tend to be lower.
Okay, thanks. Efrain, one follow-up question. You highlighted this one-off from the sale of fixed assets, the 200 billion Chilean Colombian pesos. Is that already after tax?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you once again. We are holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Neha Artuwala from HSBC.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I understand that you expect slower loan growth in 2017. Could you give us some color on what do you expect for the segments for consumer, how much do you expect to grow, especially in light of deterioration in asset quality, which you can see from higher VAT?
Thank you for the question. As Mr. Forero commented a few minutes ago, we are expecting growth close to 11.5% in terms of growth for the year. In consumer portfolio, we are we think that we will be growing around 11.5%, in commercial more close to 8-9%, and in mortgage around 9-10%. And obviously, depend on the how the economy will be improving or what happened with the economy this year, that figure has to be changed. In terms of NPL, we have two effects in the NPL, in the deterioration. One is the low growth, obviously, increase the NPL ratio, and a regular deterioration of the economy impact of our loan portfolio. In consumer, we are expecting an additional deterioration of 20 basis points in commercial portfolio, a figure close to 25 to 50 basis points, and in mortgage, a deterioration close to 15 to 20 basis points. That is our projection for the year in terms of the deterioration.
Thank you so much. If I can follow up on capital, do you expect any changes in the central bank rules and moving towards Basel III, which would probably, you could, as you said, you expect 8.3% ratio if you consider the anti-cyclical provisions declassified? And also, what is your medium-term target in terms of ROE for the business? Thank you so much.
Well, in Colombia, it is the Minister of Ministerio de Hacienda who is in charge of analyzing the different rules that apply for the financial system. However, we believe that it is going to be, we will have an analysis in Colombia to see how these figures are going to be set for the coming year for the financial system. However, I don't have enough information to tell you that what type of change we might expect. But I would think that maybe yes, they will include the anti-cyclic provisions in the measure that we are having actually in the Basel III, excuse me, in the solvency ratio and the Tier 1 ratio. But as well, it will be as well analyze other different things that Colombian regulation manage in a different way from Basel III general terms. And in terms of our ROE for 2017, well, it is hard to make commitment, but I think that we will be expecting.
Okay, and your medium-term ROE target, like in 3-4 years, what do you aim for?
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you.
The medium-term target in 3-4 years.
ROE for, I mean, for a medium term. En ROE, en medio tiempo. Okay. In terms of our medium-term ROE, we are thinking about 15.5%. Remember that this year we increased the equity. So this year the ROE will be affected by the process of increase our equity and solvency ratio.
Yes, perfect. Very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Annabelle Barrios from Barclays.
Good morning, Efraín, Ricardo. Thank you for the opportunity for the call. I have two questions. The first question is related to asset quality. I know you mentioned in your report and in the call that you expect some asset quality to deteriorate, particularly in the, and you mentioned the mortgage portfolio. But I also see a sharp increase in the early delinquency rates in your corporate portfolio in for the data of January in Colombia. So I wanted to hear from you guys if you could comment a little bit what's behind that sharp increase. And aside that increase in corporate portfolio and the mortgage loans, do you see any other buckets in your loan portfolio where you're seeing a faster than expected deterioration in asset quality for this coming year, for 2017? And the second question is related to your operations in Central America. We've all been seeing how Central American countries, particularly Costa Rica and El Salvador, had been having issues with their ratings, and they have been downgraded last year. So, are you taking any measures to contain potential damage, particularly in El Salvador, if El Salvador was to default in its sovereign debt? And what would you expect would be the implications for your other operations in Central America and particularly in Colombia, in the event of a default of El Salvador? Thank you.
Okay. Related with the first question about our asset quality and particularly about the corporate portfolio, I think that we have to mention the involvement of the bank in the infrastructure activity, and particularly related with the Ruta del Sol 2 in Colombia. And on the other hand, we have to mention about our exposure to another operation that is related with the Electricaribe intervention of the government, trying to keep the company generating energy. In the first case, for both cases, I'm going to ask Reynaldo Romero to talk to you and to give you the numbers that we have for each of those operations. And then I will make a comment related with how we see this for the closed system.
Thank you.
Thank you. About Electricaribe, in this moment, the government is established a solution for this problem in a process, in a liquidation. But the company is operating, it's possible all this year and part of the next year, in 2018. It's impossible to determine in this moment if we have any loose potential, because it's possible that the assets of the company sell to the market, and in this moment is fixed at a price and established what is the liability that they pay with this sale. We expect what is the evolution of this process, and inform to the community of the investors what is the best alternative to solve this problem. But the service of the electricity in this region is the priority, and the government give all the effort for this. And in the case of Ruta del Sol, we think that the risk in this moment is a government risk, a sovereign risk, because the amount of the engineering advancing this process is enough to attend all the liabilities in the project. We expect an important payment in this semester, and the rest of the money that the project company has is paid with the Vigencia Futura of the Republic of Colombia in the next 5 years. We think that in both processes, our expectations of losses is low.
Thank you.
Well, anyhow, yes.
Yes. Sorry, a follow-up on that. Could you break down the two exposures that to have an order of magnitude of the two exposures?
Sure. In case of Electric Caribe, we have 7 million dollars
more. $780 million, depending on the exchange rate. And the Ruta del Sol, we have more or less $130 million. Our percentage of the liability of the company is less than the 15% in some cases.
Thank you. Sorry, let me repeat that. Sorry, you said $7 to $8 million exposure to Electrocaribe and $130 million exposure to
Ruta del Sol.
Yeah, in Electrocaribe, $70 or $80 million, depending on the share rate, because the credits are in Colombian pesos, and in Ruta del Sol is near to $130 million, depends of the exchange rate, because it's a compensation. Pesos, in pesos, is 262 million in Electric Caribe and 381 million in Electric Caribe.
$262 million.
And
in Electric Caribe.
In Electric Caribe. And Ruta del Sol is 380,000 million pesos.
Okay, great. Understood. Thank you. Thank you for that detail. And the follow-up to that question is, so when you mentioned asset quality deterioration for this year, are you specifically referring to the corporate portfolio and parts of the mortgage portfolio, or you are also seeing pressures in other segments of your overall portfolio?
Well, actually, we don't have any concern about our mortgage portfolio. We believe that maybe the disbursements of the mortgages are going to be maybe similar or even lower than the past previous year, but we don't have any kind type of concern with mortgages, not with the construction business as well. We see that this is going to behave in a good way. We are concerned in Colombia because of the problems related with the oil bridge that has some type of impact in the 4G programs that we have in the country that are really very important to improve our efficiency in Colombia and our productivity. And we expect that the government will be able to manage the problem that we have in Ruta del Sol too, so that all the different participants might keep on working on that different type of projects that are really important for the economy, and that will allow us to have those roads and those different type of different airports and different things that are in the plan. But in terms of other new problems in our loan portfolio that we haven't mentioned before, we don't foresee any type of new problems. We will see a deterioration maybe, as we mentioned, in the consumer loan portfolio, because of the growth of our economy will be very close to 2%, and that will have some impact in the income of the people. And that maybe will have an impact in the whole system, in the quality in the consumer loan portfolio. But we don't foresee problems in other sectors. There are some problems in the corporate business related with the transportation system in the cities, in which we are facing problems in different cities, but what we see there is that maybe we will have to work and we will have to find different type of solutions. We see that all the different municipalities and the government itself is involved in the solution of the problems, and we don't foresee additional things that we have already mentioned in other meetings.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know in that question. Is the answer complete?
Yes.
And I will
yes.
go to the other, to Central America, and what we see there, and what we see is we have obviously analyzed very carefully, very closely, everything that is going on in the country. And as I mentioned before, Costa Rica, even though they have this outbreak, we keep on working on the country. Obviously, we have developed different types of coverage of our risk in the country that we keep every time. And in the case of Salvador, they are facing problems. And, well, the risk of default of the whole country is very difficult to project. However, what we see there is we see that the growth of the economy is very low, that they have a very important fiscal problem to solve, and both the Congress and the government and the private sector are working, trying to find different types of solutions that allow them to be in a better shape. We have our analysis of our exposure to every country that is very carefully done with the analysis of how we have the different treasury portfolio in each of the countries that allow us to lower the risk that we have in every country, both the treasury and the loan portfolio of each country with related with the posture that we have as well in the funding of every country.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Natalia Corso from J.P. Morgan.
Good morning, all. Back to capitalization. You sold some assets at the end of 2016 in order to support the capitalization of the bank. So I'm wondering here if there is anything else that could be sold in order to improve the ratio. And also, with regards to introduction of Basel III, I know you already answered the question, but I heard from the regulator last year that there was a strong willingness to introduce Basel III in Colombia, and that possibly the process would start this year. Do you have any update on that?
Related with the first question, we sold about 60% of the portfolio, asset portfolio. We still need 40% of those portfolio, and we will analyze if it is required or convenient for the bank to sell this 40% portfolio. In general terms, what we see is that it is better to have those resources helping to grow the bank than to have it in this investment in real estate investment. So we will be doing that at the pace that we feel is convenient to strengthen the solvency of the bank. And in terms of the second question, I mentioned before that we don't have any news. I have been talking with some people in Central Bank and in the superintendency and with the minister, but I know they are working, they are analyzing different things, but we don't have any update, any clear thing what they are going to do. But in general terms, I think that this year and the coming year, maybe we will have changes. And we will see and analyze the Colombian regulation and the international regulation and Basel III standards to have a very close regulation for Colombia and Basel III.
As a follow-up, have you calculated your Basel III ratio, your capitalization ratio in line with Basel III, and if so, what would this ratio be?
Okay. In Basel III, there are different elements to analyze. Not only the liquidity reserve or anti-cyclical provision, but if we estimate the risk-weighted assets in Colombia is 100% for the whole portfolio, that provides to us an additional Q1, the insurance T1 could be increased 110 basis points. That is a figure that Mr. Gerardo Hernandez published at the end of the 2016. He estimates what is the real impact of Basel III, not only the additional capital requirements, but also an additional rules like risk-weighted assets applied to Colombian market, and in average, it could be 100% for us, 100% basis point for us.
All right, but you also have goodwill inside your capitalization. So if you remove goodwill and you do the changes with risk-weighted assets, do you know more or less where your capitalization ends?
Okay. Including the whole possibilities, in the net, increase will be around 100% basis point, because it's not only to remove the goodwill, but also we have anti-cyclical provision. We don't include in Colombia the profit during the year that we are in court. So there are different elements to consider at the same time. So that is our estimation for including the whole definition that I have after three.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I am showing no further questions in the queue. I would now like to turn it back over to Mr. Ferreira for closing remarks.
Well, thank you very much, everybody, for attending this meeting. Year 2016 was a year difficult to the Colombian economy. In general terms, we might say that it was a year with a satisfactory result for Da Vivienda. I would like to mention, as I mentioned before, those results are the result for this strategy that we have been applying to the company for several years. We will keep on working on this long-term strategy to become this strong bank. We keep on working on efficiency. We will keep working in improving our services to our customers and to manage our risk in a very careful and a very prudent way. We are very glad with the results. However, we understand the commitment that we have to have for the very close future. There are so many different problems in the economy in Colombia, in Latin America, and maybe in the global terms. However, we believe that the bank will be able to keep on developing this strategy, this long-term strategy. Thank you. Thank you very much for your interest and for the participation with us. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.